Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Romeo and Juliet from Shakespeare Theater downtown, now through November 6th. Guys, thanks so much for joining us, and why don't you introduce yourself to the camera?
Ladies first.
Oh, my name is Ayanna Workman, and I play Juliet.
My name is Andrew Veenstra, and I play Romeo.
So, obviously, we've all known it. We've probably all read it, like, in middle school or something was when I saw it. But when did you guys discover it? Do you remember when you first read it or saw it?
I don't remember exactly when I first read the play. I remember the first time I was introduced to the story was when I was a kid. My mom's a dance teacher, and she played the ballet, the music for me when I was a kid. So okay. I always just, like, I danced to it in class, and I loved the music, and then kind of just, it kind of became a part of my life, this epic love story, and I've seen all the movies, and then I started just to, you know, get involved in it these past 2 years, and I auditioned for it a year ago, and I've been living with it for a long time, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you, sir?
I very distinctly remember. I was a ninth grade. I was a freshman, and I remember we actually did it for the course of a week. We read it in class, in my English class, and then at the end of that, we watched the Zeffirelli film.
Oh, nice.
afterwards. I think my first experience with Romeo and Juliet was probably West Side Story.
Well, yeah, like most of us.
Yeah, oh, I remember seeing West Side Story when I was younger, and then being told it was Romeo and Juliet, and then I went back to... It's kind of the same thing, like when you see Lion King and you realize that's Hamlet. You know, it's like, you're like, oh.
Oh, it makes sense.
Nothing's original anymore. You know what I mean? It's like everybody pulls from Shakespeare, and Shakespeare pulls from everyone else. So.
Speaking of that, how much do you think, you know, West Side Story sort of changed modern perception of the play? I mean, everyone knew it, but, you know, do you think it revitalized interest in it?
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, I think it made it, like, relevant to people, and it was no longer like this Shakespeare story, but it became like, oh, this is like my backyard, or like, you know, I'm from this neighborhood, and this is, you know, a normal girl and a normal guy falling in love and violence and death and romance and dance and music, and it made it, I think, so current and now. But I loved it when I first saw it. Oh my god.
No, I think it's
West Side Story.
I think West Side Story did a really great job, especially for that time period when it came out, because it was so. And it actually is interesting because, like, if you go back and watch the Baz Luhrmann film of Romeo and Juliet, it is so 90s. Mm-hmm. It is so that 90s kind of time period in the beginning of, like, that ADD world that we now live in, where it's like flashes of colors and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, it's actually
Moulin Rouge.
It's a comment on, you know, where we were. And I think, you know, that West Side Story was the same thing. And actually, I think that our production is kind of that same thing.
Question.
I think our production now has sort of looked at sort of the energy of where we are right now and trying to put that onto stage. So.
Talk about that in terms of where we are now, like 2016. Do you think sort of that same, I guess, what do you mean to say, like tribal mindset, us versus you, Montagues versus Capulet, Sharks versus Jets, is still sort of a thing that, you know, we're grappling with today? Is that why it's still relevant?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Republican versus Democrat right now. I mean, you couldn't ask for a more two sides that are so angry at each other type of scenario that I think that sort of fueled our director in the decision to make it contemporary. That, like, especially in D.C., especially right now, going into November, like, people are angry about the state of our country, about the possible places we're going with our country. Whatever side you're on, people are upset about that.
And how does love, you know, conquer in the face of that?
And I think that's sort of the central theme. That's why Romeo and Juliet happens always, because love never, to be cliche, love never dies, or at least the hope for love, the want of love. Everybody can connect to love in some way. Even if they don't have it, the want of it is something they can connect to, right? So I think love is the sort of through line that connects always. Yeah. But yeah, sadly, I think our world has always, you know, it's always been that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And what's sad about, you know, Romeo and Juliet is that love doesn't really conquer it. At the end of the day, the world wins, and these two, you know,
that's the tragedy.
You blame the world. We were joking about the apothecary
It's a long conversation.
Yeah. No,
I think it's multi-layered.
Well, let's have it.
Because the play is the full title of the play is The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, right? And I actually think, since we've been living in it and studying it for so long, that I don't know that the tragedy is solely that they die. I think the tragedy is that here were two people who were trying to choose love, who were trying to not be involved in this nonsense that is, you know, Verona at the time, but it consumes them. The tragedy is that they lose sight of the plot. They lose sight of what it is, and there's all these deaths that happen leading up to it because they have, and that's the tragedy, is that innocence is lost, hope is gone, and that's why they end up where they are. You know what I mean? I think that's...
But is there hope to be, yes, in the play it ends that way in tragedy, but is there hope to be found in that we, as we stage the play, we learn from that tragedy so that we don't repeat that mistake?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's the epilogue to the show, right? Yeah. That's all that they're saying there is, like, you know, how horrible that, you know, they die from love because of your hate, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, he has that line, the prince at the end, who says, you know, a glooming peace this morning with it brings, because while this horrible thing has happened, maybe this is sadly what
some
it took for us to finally make change. I mean, that's history, right? You read history, you study history, it's like this same stuff over and over until some big thing happens that's so horrible everybody finally stops. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a matter of time before it kicks again, you know? And mm-hmm. so it's like, for me, I'm a pessimist, so I always feel like it's not... It's not a hopeful ending for me, because even if they build these statues and everything's okay,
no, I don't know,
it's just a matter
won't.
Of time before someone has more money or one thing or whatever it is, and it's going to start again.
Yeah.
It's kind of human nature, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I think that's why we connect to it.
Definitely. At the Kennedy Center Honors this past year, Rita Moreno was there, and I asked her... you know, if she had any advice for the Sharks and the Jets, and she got a big kick out of it, and she said, she was still bitter. She said, screw you, you know, Jets. But what advice would you guys have for the Montagues and Capulets?
That is a good question. I mean, for me, it's mainly for the Capulets in terms of just in relationship to their daughter. I just think that it would be, you know, kind of look outside yourself and look outside of this, like, undetermined, like they don't really know at the end of the day why they're fighting. And I think that is applicable today. I mean, you know, I live in a poorer neighborhood, and to see gangs and to see, you know, they don't really understand why it is that they're fighting. So I think it's just like, look outside of that and look inside your home and look at your child and look her in the eye and talk to her. Talk to her, because I think if they talked a little bit more, you know, a lot of things would be avoided.
Communicate.
Communication is key.
What we've got here is
Well, I think the biggest part of the communication is the listening part of the communication.
Right.
Especially now, I mean, everybody talks at everybody else.
And no one
actually takes the time
especially
to listen.
The kids.
Nobody takes the time to process, right? And life has become so busy that, like, I think it's like, just take the moment. And I think, you know, that's where Romeo starts. He's this guy who's sort of wandering the streets late at night, and he's so consumed with his thoughts and trying to figure stuff out, whereas everyone else in the town is just, like, ready to go all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. I think it's like, we need to take the time to take a minute, step back, step outside yourself for a second, and listen to what people, and you don't have to agree with them, but just the common courtesy and the respect to listen to somebody else is the start of change, right? And I feel like that is something that, like, applies not just to this play, but just in general. Like, we just need to listen for a minute.
Mm-hmm. It's the Simon and Garfunkel, people hearing without listening, people talking.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's so true.
Yeah.
Going to Shakespeare, his genius as a writer, was there, I mean, we all know the famous lines from it, obviously, mm-hmm. but is there sort of, as you're doing it night in and night out, are there any, like, sort of lines where you're like, oh, now I get what that means? Like, an epiphany you had with certain sections?
Yeah. Every single day. I mean, I'm going to quote someone that I don't know where the quote comes from, so I'm sorry for it. But there's a quote that someone told me about, and it's, Shakespeare always wins. So that no matter how long you've been working on a play, no matter how many times you've been working on this play and you've revisited it, you know, at different points of your life, you will always learn something new, because his words are so, I mean, we know it as a theory, but, like, saying them every night, they are so deep. And every time I say them, I discover something new in it. And it gets me in a different way, or I say it in a different way, and then I'm like, oh, and then it hits Andrew or whoever I'm talking to in a different way. I'm like, oh, I never knew that it meant that. And that's the coolness of his stuff is that there's so much in it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I totally agree. There's every time you sort of say something, even sometimes when you make a mistake, it's actually your best friend, because you'll, like, make a mistake, and in the recovery of it, you'll have to go, oh, wow, like, I had no idea. And then it changes.
He catches you.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, with Shakespeare, it's like he invented thousands of phrases and words in the course of his writings and life that we now are such commonplace. I mean, I just read the other day that he was the first person to ever say eyeball. He was the first person to ever put that together, that, like...
What did they call it before?
You know, an eye. But no one, and never before had...
I'm gonna eyeball this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was, right. He was the first ever. And there's just thousands of those things that you can get lost just seeing all the things that he invented. Yeah. And then when you get in the play and you start realizing like, wow, this is the first time anyone ever said that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How do you like that there, Facebook Live? Yeah. Yeah. I think he invented Facebook Live. That
yeah. I'm sure he did somewhere. Facebook. Facebook
he did.
Is in some
One day
place.
He was like, I think.
Yeah.
An internet. Oh.
Yeah. I like the Shakespeare.
Yeah, God.
Hakuna Matata's in there somewhere. Yeah. I mean, it has to be.
I mean, it's
how
Hamlet, right?
Yeah, it's how else
it's
could
Hamlet,
it come?
Man.
That's right.
Circle of Life. You mentioned how you sort of take this old story, but it's sort of like in a modern setting. Mm. So take me visually, like what we're going to see, because I saw some production photos and it looks to me, correct me if I'm wrong, looks to me like it's, you know, very minimalistic set, but modern day, you know, street clothes and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's very red. So the whole set is extremely red, and the director specifically said that he wanted the set to kind of breathe passion and violence and hate and
so
love.
So red captures all that.
So yeah. So the set specifically is all red, and we are in modern jest, and I think that just goes along with the idea of that we wanted it to kind of be a story where, you know, you see us on stage and you see like people who you see every day, and to kind of just like relate this to, you know, today.
And he wanted to reach out to younger audiences. We're doing a lot of student shows. I mean, we did one just an hour ago. We finished.
Oh yeah.
You know, and wants that these kids can come in and they can relate and they can feel like in their own way that like, wow, I am Romeo in this way. I am Mercutio in this way. I am Juliet in this way, whatever it is, so that they can relate to it. Because that's what Shakespeare did. He wrote for the people. That was his whole thing. Right. Like, you know, especially with his, you know, his histories, you know, he put himself in some hot water, but he wrote for the people. That was his thing. And so it's kind of fun to go back there and you have this rowdy audience that's screaming and yelling, but they're with you. But that's how Shakespeare's were. I mean, people were commenting.
Right.
They were doing that same thing. So, but yeah, it's a big red set. It's very... It's huge. It's a gorgeous set that our designer had built for us. But it is red. It's red. I call it Clifford the Big Red Dog. I'm always like, I'm gonna go spend some time with Clifford right now. But
it is. You just came from a child audience. Now you're
I'm going all the way back to Clifford. Yeah,
Hamlet is Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. But it's kind of like a box, and everything is interior instead of exterior. Which actually adds to a whole level of the play because you're sort of living in this, you know,
right.
This box that's just building with activity, and this, at some point it's going to burst, right? So,
What's it like watching those kids? Because it's one thing to be an, you know, act for adults or people that claim to be adults, like the three.
Yeah, right. I don't make that
jokes
kind.
On them. Yeah. But you know, when you see those young eyeballs in the front row, you know, maybe this is probably their first time seeing this, right? So what's that
Seeing
reaction?
A play in general, not even Shakespeare.
And such a heavy story, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing because, like, today it's like we do a talk back afterwards, let them ask questions. It's really cool to hear. And somebody asked us if we understood everything we were saying. Which was an interesting question because it was like, well, yeah, you know, I hope at this point we've made, even if we don't know exactly, we've made a decision about what it means for all, you know, intents and purposes. But then, you know, Inga, who plays the nurse, she asked back, she said, well, did you understand it? Did you understand the story? Did you follow it? And every single one of them was like, yeah, totally. And it's like, well, then we did our job. You know what I mean? It's like, because even for me, I mean, I'm as familiar with Romeo and Juliet as anything, you know, that I've ever seen or done, but still, I'll like have to look up like what you know, and it's interesting and it's so historical that like you'll look up a line and there are literally 10 or more different ideas about what that could mean.
Right.
And so what really Shakespeare intended, who knows? There's, you know, if you justify it, it is what it is. But yeah, I think the kids really like they get it. They get it because the themes that it plays on, hate, violence, love, all those things. I mean, that's life, and that's what Shakespeare was the master of.
And it is exciting to perform for kids, just generally, because they're honest.
They'll tell you.
So if you're if they're not getting something, if they're bored, they'll sigh. If they're feeling it, they'll cheer and they'll scream. Or if they believe our love, they'll be excited about it. Yeah. So it's a nice little like litmus test. Also,
are they just devastated at the end? Heartbroken, these kids?
It depends on the group. Today it was, they might have been happy.
They were responsive tonight. This morning, whatever.
You know, the first time we did a student show, there was a girl in the front audience who was just weeping. So, you know,
it still works.
Yeah, that's
great.
I hope.
Whether it's Leo and Claire Danes or whatever iteration.
I love it.
Yeah, Andrew. Tell me about, speaking of Andrew and Aya, tell me about yourself. Where did you, one at a time, like, where did you grow up?
I'm from New York. I live now in New York, and both my parents are artists and grew up in the arts, and my mom's a dancer, dad a musician, and started doing the arts when I was young and kind of fell in love with acting when I was 9 years old. I went up to my mom and I was like, I'm going to be an actress, and didn't change my mind. And
do you remember your first role? Like a school play or
Wendy,
something?
In Peter Pan.
Really?
That's a pretty great first role.
It was a scene, and my mom is a very dramatic Eastern European artist, and she's like, Ayana, you will be an actress. And I was like, okay, good. I'm glad we both agree.
There you go.
And then I went to school for acting, college, and here I am now. And I just graduated about a year ago, so this is all new and exciting.
So you just, what is it, the second start of the right and straight until morning, or third start?
Something like that. I just followed it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you, sir? And
I did not just graduate, unfortunately. I was born in California, but moved very, very quickly by the time I was 2 years old to Massachusetts, and then moved from there to upstate New York. So I'm an East Coaster who lived all on that time. But my sports roots live in Boston, and so I may be able to commiserate with the National fans tonight, depending. But I wish them well. I hope that they move on, but my heart's already broken. Baseball's dead to me.
Nice. Talk about Montagues and Capulets.
Yeah, sorry, to get back
that
to the
is
play.
Like some really rivalries.
Yeah, seriously. Yankees and Red Sox. I'm sure somebody's done it where it's Yankees and Red Sox. And
I think you need to write this play.
I think
Romeo and Juliet between, is it Fever Pitch? I don't even know.
Yeah, probably. I grew up there, and I did theater when I was a kid. My first show ever was I played Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when I was in third grade.
Wow. That's very cute.
Were you Wonka?
Willy Wonka,
Were you, how devastated were you by Gene Wilder passing, man? Oh. That was hard.
Gosh, it feels like it's just nonstop the last year or so between everybody from Robin Williams to Prince to David Bowie to
Romeo to Juliet.
Yeah, and then every night it's me and you.
Every night.
But I live in L.A. now, actually. That's where I'm based out of. I was in New York for several years, and now I live in L.A. But I love coming back. It's, like, always a certain amount of time, and I'm like, I need my Shakespeare fix, you know? It's, like, every year or so, you go without doing it. It's like, I need to live back in that world again. Mm-hmm. It's really therapeutic and helpful to live. To go through Romeo and Juliet, by the time it's over, you're like, okay. I just did, like, a whole life of a person.
Life is easy
and
now.
And now I can sort of... I let it all out, so, yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Well, that's what makes Shakespeare Theater awesome. Again, guys, it's November, now through November 6th. What's the final sell? Why should people come out?
If anything, I think you will have a good time, and it's a great show, and Romeo and Juliet is an epic story, and I think we bring some cool new ideas to it, and yeah, it's a great night.
Yeah, I think one of the big goals we had when we started was that everybody knows the story, but our goal was that people would live in our world, and even though they know what's happening at the end, they'll hope that maybe something's changed, you know, that's so like that. And that's been our goal. And it seems to have totally paid off, because that's what people say, that like they know what's going to happen, but yet still they're hoping and rooting for it. And I think it's, you know, why do we do Shakespeare over and over anyway? I think it's because those themes that are in there, they live in all of us. And so to come for 2 hours or whatever and sort of live there for a minute, it either helps you escape from your life for a few hours or it gives you perspective, or maybe both, hopefully, if we've done our job right. And that's what people seem to feel when they come to see the theater. And I feel like what we talked about, given the state of our world right now, it's very relatable, this notion of us versus them, and not even entirely knowing the reason why. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this feud, and they never, in the show, that was one that we talked about a lot from the beginning, is like, why are they fighting? And it goes back centuries. They don't even know anymore, but that's just who they are now. And it feels that way, I think, in our country a lot, too. You know, if it's race issues, if it's gender issues, if it's political affiliations, whatever it is, there's a lot of hate right now. And I think what this show is a reminder of is that hate has an outcome that isn't good. And hopefully we don't have to get to an outcome like that before we start to change. And I think that's why art's important. That's why movies are important, plays, books, songs, because sometimes it can make you connect it before something like that happens. So
exactly. Not to mention, it's just a great night out on the town.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
fun. You know, it's also a lot of fun. Our production is very fun. People are very surprised how much they laugh and how much fun they have with our show, because we play on everything, and it's mm-hmm. not just sad from beginning to end.
So yeah.
Sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Romeo, Juliet, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yay.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.